we would advocate that this tax is anti, is counterproductive, and that what we should be doing is collecting the land value, because is the land the commons? Do we all have an equal right to it if we simply share those values? So anyway, the reason I put this here is because it gives us a total of, round figures, 1 trillion. That's 914, this is
100,000. Is it for the whole city?
This is the whole city, all 5 boroughs. The assessed value of all the land in the 5 boroughs is 1 trillion. I guess it's more like 5 trillion in reality if you looked at actual sales on the market. We just saw an example of 13 versus 88. That may be a little more out of whack than most of them, but in general, that's what I found, is that the real values, as shown by actual purchases, are much higher than what they're called the market value. I don't have time to do all of that. Here's the City of New York executive budget. I was just going to point out that the city funds are running about 50 billion a year. These are in millions, like 50,000. It's running about 50 billion a year. And then there's an additional 20 million or so that's billion that's coming from state and federal. That's also among city revenues that are used in the budget to spend. Here's a little thing of interest to Sue's presentation, that the debt service is $5 billion, about 10% of the city's funds. Are we running out of time here?
Yeah. You ran out of time.
I ran out of time. All right, so let me wrap up. Here's this McDonald's lot. That, again, is assessed at about $4 million. About the same size as that lot that sold for $88 million, and it's on the corner of 34th and 10th Avenue. Here's what they pay in tax. If it's worth, let's say it's worth $100 million, 5% of that's about, it's 5% of 105 grand. Maybe $5 million a year might be more like it, what it's really worth. Because investors are getting a return on their money, or they wouldn't be sinking that money in that asset. So this is just pictures of land and pictures of, it's just construction going on all over the place on that west side.
So what can we conclude here? We can conclude that the actual sales land values in the Hudson Yards are much higher than the city is assessing them at. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Fair summary.
Yeah, I would say that's very much the case. And therefore, the city is not really collecting those values, which are, they're created by all this economic activity that goes on around the location. If you take that same dirt and go out to the middle of Kansas with it, it's not going to be worth $88 million, right? It's because of the economy around us, because there's a subway, it's because it's New York, because there's schools and culture and everything else. That's what makes that value. That's what makes a place desirable, right? Is what's there from that spot. It's not that dirt.
And of course the public paid for the improvements to the number 7 line, right? So
$3 billion for the 7 extension. 50 million, a couple hundred million for the High Line, repurposing of the High Line. Tax breaks to these developers, and they of course are increasing the values as well. They're bringing all this new activity in, which is causing all those values to rise.
So we can conclude that public money for private benefit.
This seems to be the name of the game, is that it's been privately.
The next speaker is Sue Peters, talk about the funding on the development project. How should we act as well?
Hi, thank you. I'm just gonna see, I have two separate slides.
While they're setting this up, you see the tremendous inflation and the dangerous tickets for tonight, right? It's Rangers are in the playoffs, so the ticket prices have soared, so Madison Square Garden is getting record revenue for the ticket sales.
Hi, I'm Sue Peters, and I've studied the private banking system for around 5 years. Because I got very interested in it. I've worked in IT most of my life, information technology. And the last job I worked for Citibank in their North American corporate customer checking accounts. Now Ron mentioned that the checking accounts are the money of our money, right? Checking accounts are our money, 97%. All created when, not by our public, not by our government, like Lincoln did with Greenback, created by private corporations called banks that charge interest on all of it, and they keep the interest with their profit. This is a vicious system that started with the Bank of England in 1694, private banks creating what's used by the public to meet everybody's needs, for everybody to live, and but under the control of private corporations. Bank of England in 1694, when it was created, was a private corporation, and the people who had the first shares put their gold and silver down and handed it in for the shares of those banks. And that system is what we have today, and it's vicious because it kills people. That's what it does. We have to change it. So, my question was, you know, I got interested in this because I was a history major in college. I loved history. And then when I started learning about the banking system, I said, wait a minute, no one ever taught me this. I never got monetary history. Hey, what's going on? I got kings and queens, right? Or I got capital versus labor. Well, where's the money? And then I would talk to people, and people would say to me, money, well, wait a minute, where's that come from? Like, the American people aren't taught that. Why are we not taught this? That's the question to ask yourself. Why are we not taught this? Why? Because this vicious system concentrates wealth. And that's why Occupy came out and said 99% versus the 1%. How did that happen? It happened because of this system that we're not taught. It's kept out of our schools. Okay? less than 1% of the population now claims ownership of 50% of the wealth because of this system. The private banks get interest on all of our money. They make it out of loans. Every loan a bank makes, they want interest on it. So we have student loans, car loans, home loans. Here we have government, federal loans, state loans, local loans. Everybody's in debt. The question is who they're in debt to. Well, now we know, right? They're in debt to those private banks. We have small business loans, and we have corporate loans. Everybody's in debt these days. The private banks get interest on all of that. Knowing hour by hour, minute by minute, never stops. People are working. Everybody's working to make the money to pay back their loans to these private banks and to pay back the interest. We're all working. What is the banks doing? Just sitting there typing the numbers into the borrower's account. They're not really working like we're working. So, here's a system that concentrates our wealth. The bank has a borrower who signs that legal agreement. This is all legal. It's in the Federal Reserve Law from 1913. The principal is created and typed into the borrower's checking account. Okay, but what's missing here? This is what happens, actually happens in the accounting of the private banking system. But what's missing? The bank never creates the money for the interest. How can all the borrowers of loans repay their loans with all of it with interest if the interest is never created? They can't. There will always be people who cannot pay off the debts and the bank gets the collateral, right? Now, there's some loans that don't have collateral, like student loans.
Could we just define collateral?
I'm a bank and Ron wants to buy a house, so I'm going to give him a mortgage loan so he can buy his house. I, as the lender, have a lien, a legal claim on his physical house if he can't pay that loan. So his house is the collateral. And it's all in the fine print of the mortgage document. Remember, this system is very, very legal. It's all in the law. Okay? Historically, the first goal of the owners of the money system is to buy the government. You have to know, the Bank of England in 1694, the first thing they started doing was bribing the people in Parliament. And that's why our government is in the state it is today. Private commercial banks, and I'm talking about the big banks, the ones we bailed out, the ones who are owners of the shares of the New York Federal Reserve. That's the key in the system, okay? There are smaller banks, there's some state-chartered banks in the New York Federal Reserve, but the amount of deposits that you have in your bank, you get, if you have more deposits, you get more of the shares in that Federal Reserve Bank, and you have more power. So we're talking about the big banks here, okay? They give loans and contributions to. Now remember, if you have the money power, the power to create money, and you're a private corporation, you have the power then to decide who gets that money. Right? Who are they giving it to? Lobbyists, PACs, elections. Right? They're deciding the nature of our society. That's why when you look around, we're in a mess. That's why we have so much poverty and unfairness, and people dying on the street. We saw that one, Ron gave that one. The system decides what kind of society we have. The power of money creation funds the financial, military, industrial empire. Eisenhower left out the word financial. private commercial banks, give loans and investments to hedge funds, asset managers, stocks, bonds, derivative markets. Weapons manufacturers, a lot, are funded by these banks in New York. And they fund universities for military research. So why are we such a proponent of war around the world? We have the money funding it. We have this system, this vicious system. The nature of the money system must not be known, right? American people don't know. These private commercial banks give loans and investments to media corporations to confuse the public, keep the money issue very confusing. History departments to erase monetary history. I never got monetary history. Never. Economics department to erase the nature of money, right? Economics department will talk about capital as if money is the same as a factory. Money is unique. Money has the power of life and death over every person in our society. If you don't have money, you're going to die. Okay, so why are we not taught this? That's the first part. I want you to get in your heads the viciousness of the system and how it's kept from our knowledge. And the second part is I want to take the same system and look at how it's what role it plays in Hudson Yards. So can you bring up the other? And I have to apologize. I know very little about private development of real estate. So we're learning together.
Sorry, first of all.
Yeah. Okay. So, bank debt money and Hudson Yards. This is what I've discovered. Okay. The Hudson Yards, funded or financed. So when you hear the word finance, think someone needs a loan to get money. Okay? So funded or financed by the private debt money banking system. So first I want to talk about our city and the current state of the budget and how our city is run financially, right? I never was taught this, so I learned it. So there's two budgets in the city. There's an operational budget, like daily revenue to keep the city going, okay? So it's called the operational budget, and it's basically mostly funded by our taxes. We all pay taxes. The real estate, they pay taxes, property taxes, income taxes, sales taxes. We all pay our taxes. And it goes in so that every day our city can run, right? We have the tax income to our city, and then we spend it. And we, you know, it's spent on general government, education, social services, police, fire, and debt service. We have to pay interest. Our city, we use our taxes to pay interest. Okay? Interest and principal on outstanding debt. Right now, this was at 9%, Alan's at 10%. It's probably going up. Okay? The more that our city has to pay interest on debt, the less we have to spend on all the other things, right? And this is paid by taxes. 63% are us paying the tax in so our city can function and give us goods and services. 27% is from federal and state grants, but they're categorical grants, categorical. So it basically says, this is for Head Start. You have to use it for Head Start. Okay, that kind of stuff. And 10% other non-tax. So this is how our city runs from day to day. Basically, the engine is our paying our taxes. Okay? What is the debt service that people are paying for out of their taxes? what's this debt service, which is going to increase. Okay, so there's another budget. It's the infrastructure budget. And this is, how are we going to build that bridge? How are we going to build that subway? All the things, the infrastructure that we need, right? It's a separate budget, infrastructure building budget, and this one is paid for differently. This one is paid for we, the city, go out and borrow money. And we do that by issuing city bonds. So the city is an issuer of the bond, and the city is the borrower. And the bond, people who buy the bonds, they're the lender to the city, and they expect interest, right? So, education, this is the infrastructure that's built, education, environmental protection, general services, health, social services, you know, building a new school, right, would come under this budget, and the city would go and issue bonds in order to borrow money and pay interest on it. And most of that, 100% of this infrastructure is the city issuing bonds. Yeah, go backwards. Okay. So debt service from our taxes that, you know, that we're paying out in debt service is used to pay the interest on our infrastructure bonds. Okay. From 2002, the city had outstanding bond debt of a little under 60, like $58 billion. That's 2002 when Bloomberg came in. Today, 2013, it's $105 billion. 60, let's see, how much that? That was $58 billion to $105 billion in 12 years? How many years was Bloomberg in office? Anyway, I don't want to personalize it because it's the system. You're going to see the system. So that's like a 92% increase.
He knows how to use.
90, what?
It's a system he knew how to use.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. He became a billionaire from, he went from 2 billion to 12 billion or something outrageous.
Is that right? That much money?
Yes.
He started out in IT trading treasury bills. So let's take it all the way back to the beginning.
So, in 12 years, a 92% increase in our debt. We have to pay this. It's our city. We're paying the interest on it with our taxes. Okay, so here's the $106 billion of debt, and this just tells you all the different kinds of infrastructure, right? General obligation bonds is secured by real estate taxes. So the real estate taxes by law are supposed to go to pay the interest and the principal for the bond borrowing. The transitional finance authority is secured by our income taxes. That's supposed to go by law to pay the interest and principal on those bonds, right? And here's this $3 billion is the debt that the city got into because of the Hudson Yards. The city's building infrastructure there. We're building the subway, we're building a park, we're building boulevards, $3 billion worth. Okay, so that's there, and generating interest, okay? So this is the total outstanding bond debt, $106 billion. At the end of the fiscal year 2011, New York City reached a milestone. The amount of debt outstanding passed $100 billion. That's the first time ever. Total debt outstanding grown by 92%. This means higher debt service costs. We have to pay more interest. More debt, we have to pay more interest with our taxes. And it's projected to be 14% of tax revenues in 2015. And again, the more our taxes go to pay the interest on our debt, the less we have every day to run our city and give us the goods and services we all need. Who buys the city's debt? Ooh, wow, it's a lot of debt. Who's buying it, right? Underwriters. This term, I hear this term, underwriters. They buy the city's debt. Who can do that? Who are underwriters? Who are these underwriters? Underwriters make profit because they come in and they say to the city, we'll buy all of your bonds. You have 3 billion bonds for Hudson Yards, we'll buy all of them, but we're going to buy at a discount because we're going to take the risk of selling them to the investor. So you'll get, you're not going to get 3 billion, you'll get less than 3 billion for your infrastructure. And we'll take the bonds and we'll sell them to investors. We might pocket some of them ourselves, and we might make some deals with some of our friends, give them special prices, and that's all in the bond in, legal document that they can do that. And then they sell them to investors at a premium. So they have this spread that they make their profit on, and they also get fees for this, you know? They pay fees. So these guys make out very well, especially since look how much debt the city has given to them.
It's sick, sickening.
It is. Well, who are these underwriters? Well, there are some smaller firms that are traditional New York City municipal bonds. The city bonds are called municipal bonds, underwriters. But the people who lead the you know, they're usually syndicates, right? Underwriting syndicates. The leaders, let's see some of the leaders who are making all this money off of our debt. Morgan Stanley, the senior managers. Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, JP Morgan, Citigroup. I think I've heard about them as owners of the New York Federal Reserve Bank, creating our money out of nothing and charging interest.
These people are all in one big club.
They are. It's a system. Don't get focused on the people. It's a system. The only way to get our freedom back is to change the system.
I think you're going to have a hard time.
I'm not doing it alone. Barclays, Goldman Sachs, PNC, Royal Bank of Canada. It's a lot of, you know, Royal Bank of Canada is not a Fed member, but Deutsche Bank is a Fed member. HSBC, the British bank, is a Fed member. I mean, there's a lot of foreign banks that have opened in New York so that they can buy shares in our New York Fed bank. Wells Fargo, TD Securities, right? The Canadian bank is a member of the New York Fed. And one of these underwriters. So, the system is right here in New York with our debt. Okay, and these underwriters are some of the biggest banks in the world. This is a listing at the top of bank holding companies with assets greater than $10 billion. $10 billion. JP Morgan, Bank of America, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley. And the only reason they have this power, to realize, is it's in the Federal Reserve law. They were given the power to create our money the way they're creating it.
Unbelievable.
Wilson, when he was on his deathbed, said, I've sold my country. I regret that I ever signed that law. They always say it when they're dying. they don't say it when they're alive and try to fight it.
They might get shot.
Okay. New York City's infrastructure. The high Hudson Yards financing and debt. Okay, so let's zoom in on Hudson Yards. Okay. So this is the Hudson Yards Infrastructure Corporation. Nice logo, you know. This was created as a public-private nonprofit and given the power to issue those $3 billion worth of city bonds, city debt, okay? And it was thought up by, the government, with the help, I'm sure, of private developers. So it's a local development corporation created in 2005 by the NYC under the Not-for-Profit Corporation Law of New York State, created to finance the acquisition and infrastructure work, including extension of the number 7 subway line, it's in yards, public parks, and boulevard. So this is going to borrow the money so that the city can build the infrastructure. That's what this is doing. In the bond agreement, very clearly to the investors, it says the city is not responsible for the principal of these bonds. The city has agreed to be responsible for the interest. Very clearly. Okay? The Bar of New York came out with an analysis of this financing scheme and said the city of New York is morally responsible when it comes down to it. Morally responsible for the principal of those loans.
Who's legally responsible for the principal?
If the city can't pay for whatever reason, it'll go to court and the courts will decide.
So,
the Hudson Yards Infrastructure Corporation issued the bonds backed by these sources of revenue. So this is the deal here. The Hudson Yards would have reduced property taxes. The developers in Hudson Yards, building this big building, would have reduced property taxes for 19 years, right? Less property taxes. Plus, pilot payments, and those pilot payments, those reduced property taxes, instead of going to help fund our city so we can have what we need, is going to pay back these bonds when those buildings are built and the tenants move in and some profit is being generated, right? So taxes that would have gone to the city. The Hudson Yard mortgage reporting tax is not going to go into our city coffers from Hudson Yards for 19 years. It's going to pay back these bonds and all the interest on them. Okay? Taxes that would have gone to the city, less taxes. The interest payments from the city, until private revenues kick in from all of this development, the city's responsible for. City signed that legally. They're going to pay the interest on this $3 billion of bonds until there's enough revenue from the private development to pay for it. Okay? So it's going to be paid from our taxes. Today. It's been being paid for, I guess, since they started the infrastructure 3 or 4 years ago. And it's, millions of dollars have gone out of our budget to pay for this interest. Okay. The people of New York are subsidizing the private real estate developers as if they needed it. They pay less taxes into our operating budget. We end up paying more taxes, ultimately. Okay, the Infrastructure Corporation, what are the bonds, what are these bonds and that will pay for the city's infrastructure? Well, here's the first issue. The city issued the Infrastructure Corporation issued $2 billion in 2007 for 40 years. So the city has to start paying the interest right away on $2 billion. And it was pretty good interest rate. The lowest was 4.5% and then 5%. I thought that was pretty high, actually. Okay, and Who sold these? Who are the underwriters?
It's the same people.
Same people.
How do you like that?
Same people. Same system. They loved it. They got interest.
These guys have this all figured out.
Well, William of Orange, who was the head of Holland, came over to England with his Dutch fleet in 1688. It was called the Glorious Revolution. He became the King of England. His wife was Mary, daughter of the James II. Okay. Came over. He didn't come over alone, even with his fleet. He came over with his financiers, who knew all about money. And they were, some of his financiers were the first shareholders in the Bank of England. This system started there. And then in 2012 we have another $1 billion, but this is a little higher interest rate the investors are getting than we're paying, coming out of our taxes. Who are the underwriters? Same people. So they're underwriting all of the debt of the city and of other cities. So what happened to Detroit? The first creditors in line to Detroit for some of these banks. Okay. I mean, God forbid that the city turns out like Detroit.
It couldn't happen.
These same underwriting banks are also in derivatives deals with the cities. I mean, these same banks are the biggest derivative dealers in the world, And the derivatives they have with the city, they have agreements that collateral is to be posted if the city were to owe a termination payment and its ratings fall. They're going to get the collateral. Right? Private developers' infrastructure. Now, this is hard to find because this is the private developers. They're going out and looking for loans. I don't know how to get that information. These deals are pretty much secret until they decide to make them public. But in Hudson Yards, there were a few stories that came out of the press. The first one of them was, and this is the funding for the private developers has kept